Respected people of God, the year end has come, and I'm sure we all will be reminded to be thankful and to be in prayer for the coming year. To surrender ourselves, we sang the song, "He is the Potter." Amen? He is the Potter. And of course, that is one blessed side of the truth. He is the Potter. Problem with some of the metaphors is, unless it's thought through, we may think that He is the Potter, so here I am. You know, it's a kind of passivity. He is the wonderful Potter, amen, but we will be required to make choices. We will be required to make decisions in the coming year. As we move forward to the new year, we will have to make many decisions. We can't just say that, "Lord, you do, you work out." Then we may hear the Lord saying, "You do something." Brother Sujit taught us 2 weeks back about taking godly decision, and he encouraged us. We will have to take decisions, some of us. I mean, sir, people sitting here, people hearing me, they may have to take decisions regarding their marriage or studies or regarding their business, jobs, or regarding going to missions, or regarding buying a house, or I mean, many decisions would have to be taken. Now, I would like to revisit this very common area of our thoughts and discussions, and many of us, we generally talk about it, but we never seem to get it, you know, no matter how much we discuss it. What is it that I'm talking about? Because whenever we say about taking decisions, people will naturally say, "Yes, I want to do the will of God." Yes. In fact, the will of God is so important. Jesus Christ said, "It's my food. My food is to do the will of God." And what is the prayer of a disciple? "Lord, let your will be done." So, we want to take decisions. We want to take decisions according to the will of God. But the million-dollar question is, what is His will? I mean, that's what many people continually struggle with. What is His will? So we study the books, we read books, we attend seminars, we hear messages, finding the will of God, and we say that, yeah, it should be according to the written word of God. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when we can ask the Lord for guidance, we can ask for counsel, we can ask for wisdom. But then finally, what is the will of God? Am I sure? Is it the will of God? If I take a survey here, if I take a survey, I'm pretty sure there will be a lot of instances where there's lack of clarity. People will say, "I don't know, what's the will of God?" Quite a few of us would be confused. And then when people are confused, some of us, we advise, you wait. Wait on the Lord. I mean, while there is a phrase and a thing called waiting on the Lord in the Bible, let me tell you, some of us are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I know of people who have not got married. Not because God called them to celibacy, but they are waiting and waiting and waiting. I know of people who want to go to missions but are not going to mission because they are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. There may be people who want to maybe invest in something, or they want to buy something, they want to give away something, but they are waiting and waiting and waiting for the will of God to be revealed. So, this morning time, by the grace of God, I hope to help you all regarding this complicated or confusing subject. And I believe, I think in my heart that at least some of you will be released today by the Spirit of God to do something which you always wanted to do but you were not able to do because you are waiting and you are confused. So I am very happy today to present to you this message, and I thank the Lord for this message. When we talk about the will of God, I think it is useful to distinguish between few will of God. One way to look at the will of God is the sovereign will of God, the moral will of God. You know, I'll explain what I mean by that. So what do I mean when I say sovereign will of God? All of us, we understand that God is sovereign. He is the king. He works out everything according to the Ephesians 1:11. He works out everything according to the counsel of his will. In Daniel chapter 4 verse 35, Nebuchadnezzar, when he came to his senses, he said, Daniel 4 verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven. God does according to his will. That is the sovereign will of God. I think it's in Psalm 115. Verse 3, Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens, he does whatever he pleases. He's a sovereign God. Now, God has given freedom to man, but then even though men do things, finally God works out according to his will. And there are two wonderful verses which I really love, and that is Acts 2:23, where, you know, I'm just taking from the midst of what Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. He's speaking about Jesus when he says, this man, Jesus, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Now, so it's very interesting. We would think that, well, who put Jesus on the cross? We would say that the Pharisees, the Jews, Judas, Caiaphas, Roman soldiers, Pontius Pilate, all of them. But here it's written behind that, you know, he was delivered over by the predetermined plan foreknowledge of God. But please note the word, you nailed to the cross. So in this one verse, we see divine sovereignty and human responsibility. I'm not going to go into that big topic of divine sovereignty and human responsibility, but just to let you know that there's something called the sovereign will of God. God's sovereign will is going to happen, whether you and I like it or not. That's what we have to understand about sovereign will of God. Jesus Christ came for the first time, whether you liked it or not, and he is going to come the second time, whether you and I like it or not. And whenever we want, we can't say, you come 10 years later. No, he will come when he wants to, and he will come. That's the sovereign will of God. It will be done. Now, why am I talking about the sovereign will of God? Just so that I can put that aside. Because sovereign will of God, we don't need to find the sovereign will of God. It will happen. So when we are talking about finding the will of God, we are not talking about finding the sovereign will of God. Sovereign will of God is sovereign will of God. That is the, we don't know, but he will work out. Now some of us get confused by reading James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. What does James say? I mean, James told it to bless us, but some of us take that verse and get confused. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, they will live and also do this or that. Now, please note that when James wrote these verses, he was not condemning planning. Verse 13, let's look at it closely. So the problem here is not that someone says that tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, we will spend a year there, we will engage in business and make a profit. That's not the issue here. Issue is not that somebody is planning. What is the issue here? Issue here is boasting and speaking and planning as if there is no God and, you know. So James just corrects that particular thing and says, you should not say like that. You should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this, this, this. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. So he was, please note, James chapter 4, verse 13 to 16, is not against planning. It is against boasting. I think this would just clear many things there. Some of us are not planning because we are here. God, will God like? Am I going against the sovereignty of God? Because he's the planner, isn't it? So should we plan for the coming year? Should we plan? For the coming year, should we plan? Will God be angry? I don't know why these guys are making plans when I am alive. These guys are making plans. Will I not guide them? No. I will show you quite a few verses later regarding making short-term plans, making long-term plans. Importance of planning. But we shouldn't boast as if now that we have planned this is going to happen, as if, you know, we must submit humbly to his will. It may happen that we planned that and that may not happen. Apostle Paul, in the epistle to Romans, he says, I planned to come to you many times, but I was hindered. I couldn't. Now, does that mean it was not? So some of us come to. That means it must not have been the plan of God for him to go to Rome. I don't think Apostle Paul was thinking like that. He says, it was hindered. You know, Satan was hindering. Paul made short-term plans. Let's look at two verses for short-term plans. Acts 20, verse 16. Please look at the keywords. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. So he had some plan. He wanted to reach Jerusalem, if possible. It was not easy to say. I mean, the travel during that time was very unpredictable. But he wanted to reach before Pentecost. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. Here Paul says, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. Look at the same language of James and Paul. We sometimes want to pit James and Paul against each other, you know. He's using the same. If the Lord wills, I will come to you soon, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. So here we see some short-term plans of Paul. Paul made a few long-term plans also, you know. Acts 18:21. When they asked him, when they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent. But taking leave of them and saying, I will return to you again if God wills, he set sail from Ephesus, which means he wanted to return, but then he could not guarantee it. Acts 19:21. Acts 19:21. Now, after these things were finished, Paul purposed in the spirit to go to Jerusalem after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Oh. Praise God. Look at the heart of Paul and mind of Paul, how it is working. He purposed in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. And then he has in his plans that he wants to see Rome. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 5 to 7. These are some of the verses which you usually don't study and all. But it's a good thing. Here Paul says, but I will come to you after I go through Macedonia. For I am going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you and even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. Next verse. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits. He is hoping. He is not saying, God told me. I think we all are, you know, sometimes we become very super spiritual and we try to use words like, God told me, God is telling me, God, I'm asking God whether I should come to you or not, you know. Sujit, I'm just asking the Lord whether I should be visiting your home or not, you know. And God is till now not told me. So what should now Sujit think? Maybe God doesn't want people to visit me. Maybe something is wrong with me. I mean, what am I trying to say? He can say, I want to visit you. Yes, you know. Now, so sovereign will of God, let's set it aside for today at least, I mean for this discussion purpose, because that God will do, but we have to make plans. Now, the second category of the will of God we can designate as moral will of God. Now, moral will of God is something where God has revealed to us how we must live, how we must behave. Moral will of God is revealed to us in the Word of God through His commands. Very clearly. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. It's revealed. I don't need a special revelation. Sunil, forgive. I mean, if I am forgetting something, maybe I may need to be reminded, but whether to forgive or not, it's written. moral will of God. So today, I would not be talking about moral will of God. We must do the commands. Last week, I spoke to you about from the life of Daniel and his friends. Clear-cut command of the Lord, don't bow down before the idols. And they followed the moral will of God. They didn't need special revelation at night, an angel coming and saying, don't bow down to the image. It is written. He has revealed. We must follow the moral will of God. So let me just put that also aside for today's purpose. I mean, that's so important, but yeah. So sovereign will of God will be done. Moral will of God has to be obeyed. Period. Now, my interest today is about speaking on the third category, and that is where the confusion comes. The individual will of God. Now, the question I want to put before you, and some of you might not agree with me, no problem. Yeah? Please hear me out. Yeah? Do you really think that God has an individual will, a detailed life plan uniquely designed for each person? I think he might have a plan. But the bigger question is, do you think that God has given a responsibility to each one of us to find out what that plan is and then do accordingly? As Christians, I know that there are quite a few people, unfortunately, who don't give a damn to, who cares? I want to do my will. So, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to tell those people anything today, except to say, repent. You must not have that attitude. You must bow down to God. Now, for everyone else, and I believe majority of you, or probably all of you, you want to do the will of God. Now, when you want to do the will of God, definitely there are clear-cut commands of the Lord revealed in the Bible. So, in that, you are not confused. Shall I do adultery? What is that question? So, we don't have confusion in those things. The confusion comes in areas where it is not clear. Should I go for missions? Or should I have bivocational kind of a thing? Is that written in the Bible? You know, bivocational means a person like me, you know, I'm working in the hospital and I'm also involved in the church, etc. Then there are certain people who are full-time involved. Pastor, we know a few other people like that. Should I go to rural area or urban area? Should I settle in Kerala or in North India? Should I buy a house or rent a house? I think we will look in vain for these answers in this Bible. I think even if some of you end up finding something, that would be very odd kind of an answer, because then you would be, you know, squeezing out from that few verses something which you want to probably, which would not be the original intent of the author. So what should we do? Is it our responsibility to find out that hidden plan of God regarding us and then do it? I believe, let me state what I believe. I believe that it is not God's will. I mean, God doesn't want us that the primary, what are you doing, Sunil, in your life? I am trying to find God's will regarding me. Okay, good. You want to do God's will, but no, what is that secret thing? Where should I go? Should I go to UP or should I be in Kollam? I want to find out. Should I do it like this? I believe that there would be needless frustration in many people, and most likely God is not going to speak. Not because he doesn't love us, but because I believe he loves us. And I believe he wants us to love him. And I believe he wants us to take steps of faith. And I believe he's giving us freedom. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who are parents and rest of you who are children, you will also understand what I'm saying. When your kid is small versus when your kid has grown, tell me, as a parent, when do you have to give the most instructions? Hello? I think answer is very clear. Do this, do that. Did you brush your teeth, child? Do this, do that, wear this. But as a child grows older and older, I think all the parents sitting here do give them what? Freedom to choose. There's a range of things which they can do. Range of things. Unfortunately, we have got things upside down. We think the more a believer grows, the more wireless messages he would be getting from God. Some people are even moving like this. Will I miss one's word from what God said? Dear brothers and sisters, what is the mark of maturity? Some people think the mark of maturity is that they can hear more. And they will find the will of God more and they will walk more. Every second they will be there in, just like the police control room van. Hello, hello. Yes, yes. Haan, kaisa hai, kya hai? You know, you might hear, always there's some talk happening there, you know. So continuous talk by the Holy Spirit. God gives freedom to his people. In the Old Testament, did God give freedom to the people? Yes. He gave freedom. He gave laws, but he gave freedom. He said, if you want, you can give free will offerings. These animals you shouldn't eat. But what you can eat? Amongst that, you can choose. Big fish, small fish? Which one? You shall eat. You know, Deuteronomy 23, verses 15 to 16. Hallelujah. It says, Deuteronomy 23, verses 15 and 16. Talking about a slave and master. You shall not hand over to his master a slave who has escaped from his master to you. He shall live with you in your midst. Who? That slave. In the place where, which? Please note that the word he here is small letter. Which he shall choose in one of your towns where it pleases him. You shall not mistreat him. Some choice is given. Whether to give free will offering or not, that choice is there. In the New Testament, very interesting, Apostle Paul gives a very wonderful instruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and he was dealing with many issues, and one of the issues which he was dealing with was what about widows, and you know, what about whether they can remarry, or you know, things like that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, very interesting in this context. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to the one whom God decides. No, that is not what is written. To whom she wishes. Oh, really? Isn't that a very bad thing? Somehow, I think we all, he asked a young man, why do you want to get married to this girl? Because God is leading me. I mean, okay, maybe you feel led, but why don't you say that you like, and it's a good, I think it's a good proposal. What's the problem, yeah? And sometimes the opposite also happens. So there we bring a, you know, why don't you consider this? Or the parents bring a proposal and the guy or the girl, basically they didn't like, but how they will put it is, I'm not having peace from the Lord. The Lord. So now when God says something, who can say anything? If God says something, who can even question? Yes, since God has told no, thank you very much. We'll bring another proposal. Very good. She is free to be married to whom she wishes, not full stop. Only in the Lord. Look at the thing. The command of the Lord sets the boundaries, but inside the boundary, there is freedom to choose. The moral will of God gives the boundaries. Inside that, there is freedom to choose. I truly believe this. Should I marry believer A or should I marry unbeliever B? Answer, believer A. Some believer. Should I marry believer A or should I marry believer B? Whom you think wise or whom you like. Should I build a house in Kundra or Kottayam? Kundra people will say, Kundra. Where should I build a house? Should I build a house? Isn't rented accommodation better? Brother, you think about it, decide. But I want to know from the Lord. Ko can be Kottayam also. So we get confused. After some time, somebody says, God told you Ko, but it can be Korba. It's quite, you know, we can laugh at ourselves. I'm not laughing at you. We can laugh at ourselves. You know, this is what we do. Is it Korba? How much should we give? Some people are asking the Lord how much they should give to the Lord. That is very funny to me. Can you, if someone comes and asks me, Brother Sunil, should I give? Okay, they can ask me. See, these days, actually giving gifts also is slightly, you know, confusing because they may buy something and that I may have. So you can clarify that. But if somebody asks me, Brother Sunil, I'm thinking of giving a gift to you. Should I give you a gift worth 500 rupees or 5,000 rupees? What a question. What do you think I should answer? You're putting me in some kind of an odd situation. Nobody has asked me. It's a hypothesis. But I think we ask this to God. You know, nobody has asked this to me till now.
Nobody will ask such a foolish question. Rare, if you want to buy 500 rupees gift to me, give 500. If you don't want to give gift, don't give. Brother Sunil, should I give a gift to you? What do you think? What a funny thing, yaar. What are we? Kya bol rahe yaar? Kya pooch rahe? What are you asking? You know? This is what some of us are asking the Lord. Lord, how much should I give? 500 or 5,000? How much should I give today? Apostle Paul, such a practical man. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I mean, let's not think that Apostle Paul was not a spiritual man. He was a very spiritual man. 2 Corinthians, he says, each one must do just as he or she has purposed in their heart. So there is a purposing in heart. Let us decide. Why should we know the will of God in this matter? No. Let me tell you a quote from Augustine. You know Augustine, 4th century. Theologian. He said something which might appear scandalous to you at the first hearing, but please hear me out. Okay? Please hear him out. He said, in these matters, love God and do whatever you please. I hope all those of you who are hearing me fully. If you hear only the second part, you say, Brother Sunil, I don't know what he's teaching. Do whatever you please. No. He said, love God and do whatever. So which means when we, you know, if we are, let's love God, let that be the thing. And then you have a passion to serve somebody. You want to do something. You don't want to do something. Do according to that. Love God, but love God. That's the primary. Love God, and of course, love God includes loving his people, you know. Loving people. Only when we go against the command of the Lord, it is a sin. Imagine, for some reason, I don't know. First of all, I don't think that God has written it, that God wants me to build a house in Kundra. And I end up building a house in Kottayam. Is it a sin, brothers and sisters? What do you think? Maybe loss of money, eh? I don't think it's a sin. Sin is going against the commands of the Lord. But I, out of my love, I do something. I believe God will say, he did it for me. Hallelujah. And if he wants to change my course, he knows. Apostle Paul, when he made plans, he was going from one place to another. He went to Bithynia. For some reason, God didn't want him to go in that direction. The Spirit of the Lord constrained him. So God will do that extra thing. Okay. And for some special reason, he wants Paul to be in Macedonia, then he will make, and Paul doesn't have that in his mind at all, then God will somehow bring that in mind and say some vision or something. Something will happen. God is not a mute spectator to everything. But will God say, Paul, what the hell? I mean, Paul will not say what the hell. I mean, God will not say what the hell. But what's wrong with you? Why couldn't you find out that Macedonia is the place where I want you now? God said, go, preach. And we are sitting and saying, you tell Macedonia or where. We have freedom within boundaries, of course. Now, how do we decide then? With wisdom. A huge part of the Bible is devoted to
विजडम लिटरेचर, विजडम विजडम गेट विजडम. जे आई पैकर गेव अ वेरी वंडरफुल डेफिनेशन ऑफ विजडम. ही सेड विजडम इज द पावर टू सी एंड द इंक्लिनेशन टू चूज द बेस्ट एंड द हाइएस्ट गोल. With the best way to attain it. I'll repeat. He said, what is wisdom? Wisdom is a power. It's a power for what? It's a power to see and the inclination to choose the best among various alternatives, that is. And then how to reach that place, you know, the best way to attain it. When there is more than one way, wisdom must serve the way. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 10 says, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. In the Bible, there are a lot of exhortations for, you know, taking counsel from others. So, for example, in Proverbs, let me tell you four verses quickly, but they are all saying similar things. Proverbs 15:22. Proverbs 15:22, without consultation, plans are frustrated. But with many counselors, they succeed. You see, I know of people who just take decisions and then, I mean, they do it in their own, you know, they do it out of good intentions, but they don't believe in discussing with others. But God says, without consultation, plans are frustrated. Some people say, no, God spoke to me, that's it. They have a verse, when God spoke to me, I did not consult with flesh and blood. So some people have left everything about flesh and blood. I am only with the spirit. I don't discuss with flesh and blood. Only that verse is not there, please. There are many other verses also. You know, that he was talking with reference to his calling. Look at Proverbs 11:14. Hallelujah. Where there is no guidance, people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 20:18. Actually, only when I was preparing this, I realized that there are so many verses. I knew that there are verses like this. Proverbs 20:18. Prepare plans by consultation. Look. Prepare plans. How? By consultation. And make war. How? By wise guidance, not just by rushing to it. But Proverbs 24:6. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. We see in the Old Testament how when Moses was in trouble, his father-in-law came to his rescue, gave him a wise advice. Once David, he thought of some foolish thing. Okay, he said to his mighty men that I will also come along with you. They told him, no, if you die, what will happen to all of us? You may be there. Then he said, okay, now that you all say this, I will not come. We must also pay attention to some of Paul's language. Now, I myself have taught in this church regarding supernatural guidance, okay? It is true. Apostle Paul was guided supernaturally many times. I already spoke today about that Macedonian call. There was a time when he was in Corinth that he was pretty frustrated. He was about to leave Corinth, but God appeared to him in a vision and said, you be here for more time because there are many more people whom I have in mind. So he stayed there for 1.5 years more. So Paul indeed was led supernaturally, but let us see the other side of Paul, okay? As I showed you today, he was a person who made some plans. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 18 onwards. And I want to show you a particular phrase there, just so that you understand the context. Here Paul says, "For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and Satan hindered us." We wanted to come. He's not saying God was sending. He said, we wanted to come. Yes, for who is our hope or joy or crown of consolation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? For you are our glory and joy. Next. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. Just wait there. Verse 1. Is it the language a spiritual man should use? We thought it best. Looks like a pretty human language. What was God telling to him at that time? I don't know. Usually, we would like the verse to be like this. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we cried out to the Lord, and the Lord put it in our hearts. And then he said to us, some of us won't even say put it in our hearts. He would say, God said, Sunil, be in Athens. Paul, be in Athens alone. It looks pretty unspiritual, a spiritual language. We thought it best to be left behind. That's the best he could write there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. Look at the language used by Apostle Paul. Philippians 2, verse 25 to 26. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to. Look at the, again, a spiritual kind of speaking. I thought it necessary. God spoke to me. I thought it necessary. Very interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 3 to 4. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. Look at the words. If it is fitting. What is the will of God? If it is fitting. So Paul's decision making was not only in the realm of asking and receiving, hotline, what should I do? Titus 3:12. Hallelujah. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Oh. We would have liked to say, God is telling me to spend the winter there. Looks a pretty at a human level, huh? But I don't think he was a man who walked with God. I have decided, dear brothers and sisters, what are you deciding? To spend the summer where? Yeah? No, God has not put in my heart, so I will not, I am undecided. Am I mocking anybody? No. Sorry. But certainly I have an attitude of mocking towards that kind of thing, which I myself have moved in quite a bit of time. Look at another very interesting phrase. And this phrase, by the grace of God, long back through a pastor's preaching, I had come to know I mean, it came to my notice, and that is Acts chapter 15. What's the problem in Acts chapter 15? Jerusalem Council, senior people have all come. They are deciding what to do about this Gentile ministry. You know, God gave us the law through Abraham, that circumcision thing was given. What should we do about this in the case of Gentiles? Should they be circumcised? Should they follow the law? Not. Heavy arguments. Probably a split in the church. Maybe. Going to happen. But at the end, you know, they all came to a consensus. And they write a letter. And look at verse 22, chapter 15, verse 22 onwards. And there is one phrase which is repeated three times. Verse 22, and that phrase is, seemed good. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with, like that, okay? Verse 25, it seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to you, to send to you. They write, it seemed good to us. This is God spoke to us. It seemed good to us. Wow. And then look at verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. Wow. They could only have written, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. No, and to us. Somehow they also, it seemed good. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, when we are talking about taking decisions, we can think it best to do something. We can think it necessary. We can sometimes think it fitting. Sometimes we can decide. Sometimes we can do what seems good to us. Sometimes we can do what seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wisdom is very important. It's a very important characteristic. You see, sometimes we emphasize that people should be filled with the Spirit. Very good. But Acts chapter 6, just look at Acts chapter 6. When there was this problem amongst the widows, it is said, verse 3, chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of spirit and of wisdom. Oh, we thought only full of spirit is enough. Some people may be very much surrendered to the Lord and willing to do, but they may not be walking in wisdom. Wisdom is very important. Otherwise, this is a sensitive issue. People will not be able to handle it. Another very interesting thing is, when Paul had to tell Timothy whom he should choose as elders and whom he should choose as deacons, he could easily have told, go on a fasting prayer, pray, and you will hear few words. Choose such people. Of course, prayer is there and we must pray. And I'm sure that was understood. He didn't have to specially say who you should pray. But he had to specially say these things should be there. And then choose such people. There is choice, dear brothers and sisters. There is choice based on wisdom. So I will end here. What am I trying to say today? There is a sovereign will of God that will happen whether you like it or not. But we must submit to the sovereign wisdom of God, and we must be humble enough to say that, okay, this is what I am planning, but by the will of God, you know, if it be His will. You know, so that's good. You know, that's regarding sovereign will of God. And then there is moral will of God and there is commands of the Lord. we must obey the commands of the Lord. But when there is no specific command, what must we do? When there is no specific command, God gives us the freedom. Now, for some of you at least, you would feel pretty relieved. Ah, oh, I have freedom. Oh, I always wanted to do this, but I always am tense whether it's the will of God. Oh, if it's your passion, if you are, God is gifting you with this, you want to do it for the glory of God, dear brother, dear sister, please take that first step. Do. Where there is no specific command, God gives us the freedom, but then we have the responsibility also to choose. We can't just say, Lord, you do it. You work out. We have some good words. You work out. In Malayalam, they say, Nee ange cheythu eduk. 2022, you work out. We have the responsibility also to choose. Now, how must we choose? We must choose with wisdom. If any one of you lacks wisdom, if I lack wisdom, God wants me to ask and he shall give me. Proverbs chapter 2, that initial verses. If you cry out for wisdom, if you seek for understanding, then you will know the fear of the Lord. So, there is a seeking for wisdom. There is a discussing with others, more mature people, you know, that will be helpful. And we must trust that through it all, God will work out everything for good. Hallelujah. That much we should believe. And I am also believing that just in case, you know, if I am doing something and God really wants me to do something else, I truly believe that because he is my shepherd, he will lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I truly believe that. He will help me. So, there is moral guidance given in the Bible. There is wisdom guidance. By the way, a large part of wisdom is common sense. Sanctified common sense. And then a few extra things which some more mature people can tell us. Then there is sovereign guidance, so there is moral guidance, there is wisdom guidance, there is sovereign guidance. And last of all, there is special guidance. And I think today I am not discounting that there is special guidance. In fact, you can go into TDF column and go back. I spoke 2 messages on special guidance from the Lord. I myself have been specially guided by the Lord in certain areas of my life at certain times. But I do strongly believe that special guidance is not the common way, the everyday way that God leads us. Special guidance is special guidance. And God will lead you specially. But now, the only question is whether you can say, Lord, guide me specially, only then I will do something. You know what? This guide me specially business, we usually talk only in, especially when we come to, you know, some things like doing something for the Lord. When it comes to work, we don't really pray too much about guide me specially. We do apply. We do go. We do put our CV. And then we say, let us take steps. Shall we all stand up? Hallelujah.